Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to another epic edition of the Jerry Jones Show, hosted by Jerry Jones, along with his sidekick, Kevin Anderson. Each and every episode is guaranteed to increase your profits and decrease your stress in dentistry. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Jerry Jones here, and I know, I'm excited, and you better be too, for this next interview. I have with me a gentleman by the name of Bruce Feller, and Bruce is with a company Bruce is based in the Portland, Oregon area, and this company is a nationwide company, and we're going to talk about something today that I think, frankly, you may find, if you didn't understand the mechanics behind it and how important it is, you might think it's rather dry, but I'm here to tell you, Bruce is going to start off with a story after he introduces himself that is going to get your attention very quickly and perhaps alert you to a potential issue you may have right now in your own practice. So, again, Jerry Jones with Dentistry Confidential. I'm glad you're with me. And Bruce Feller. Bruce, can you hear me okay?
I can, Jerry.
Good. Fantastic. Now, Bruce, you're up in the Portland area, correct?
That is right.
Yeah, so we're not that far apart, 50 miles. We probably could have sat down and done this at a coffee shop, but, you know, doing it on a telephone wire like this is just, you know, so much more official sounding, right? So, Bruce, you're with a company called Heartland Payment Solutions. You're based in the Portland, Oregon area. You guys have offices and folks all over the United States, you were referred to me by someone who knew the value of making sure you're using the right people to process payments in your dental office. And it's been a great story. I mean, we're doing business together. I'm very happy with the changes we've made, Bruce, with your company, Heartland Payment Solutions. And I'm even more excited about some of the protection I have now that I didn't have before. So we're going to get into a bunch of different topics today, but it's all going to center around processing payments from your patients and your practice and some things you really need to be aware of and watch out for and guard yourself against. So, Bruce, if you would fill in any holes I left in the introduction of who you are, what you do, how long you've been with Heartland, any other information you'd like to offer our listeners, and then I'd love for you to tell the story that frankly scared the crap out of me about that poor doctor.
Sure.
Thank goodness it wasn't me. So, Bruce, go ahead. Why don't you introduce yourself, and we'll go from there.
Great. Jerry, thank you for having me on this talk show. I'll call it a show.
It is. It is a show. Absolutely.
Great. Heartland Payment Systems is one of seven companies in the country that are a payment processing company. So essentially, we process credit cards. Before I get too deep into it, there's a few other things that we do you might be interested in. Is we also do payroll. We have HR and 401k, and we'd be more than happy to talk with you about that as well. But for today, the main conversation is credit card processing. And I know that almost everybody who takes credit cards in their business has said to me, oh, God, I've spoken to 100 of you people, if not 1,000. And that's not really true. You probably did speak to that many people that was trying to offer you processing, but they're not a processor. There's only 7 processors in the United States. Just to get you familiar with them, the other 6 processors are First Data, which is the largest, Evolon, Vantiv, WorldPay, Global Payments, Chase Payment Tech, and Heartland. Now, one of the big differences between those 6 and Heartland is the fact that those other 6 companies are the ones that are responsible for all those phone calls that you're getting because they're selling to any independent sales organization, also known as ISOs, that will take their company and solicit people. So all of those other 6 companies are the ones that are soliciting you. Heartland never does that. Heartland only works directly with the merchant. In this case, we would work directly with the doctors. By doing so, you have the advantage of increasing your security by a long shot. You also have the advantage of working direct and eliminating the middleman. There are no layers between Heartland and your doctor's office. So that brings us to the whole subject of security. And I had told Jerry about this situation that I ran into, and I myself was amazed because I had another situation similar to this that wasn't as large of a deal. But I was talking, I was in a dentist's office, and I was talking with the dentist, the owner of the practice, and I started to tell him, just as I did you, that we are really on the top of security for credit card processing. And by doing so, we back you up with our breach warranty. And the dentist is shaking his head, and he says, I know all about that. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I bought this practice 4 years ago. And 2 years ago, we suddenly found that we had a breach. And I called the appropriate agencies right away, explained to them what happened, and they proceeded with a forensic audit. And before I knew it, all of the fees and the fines and the forensic audit for being exposed to a hacker for 2 years came to $4.1 million. And I almost fell off my chair. I couldn't believe that I was hearing this story. And this is recent. This is this year in 2017 that I had this experience.
So this isn't like, you know, 5 or 6 years ago when it was a heck of a lot easier to hack stuff. This is in the modern security age that we live in.
That's right. It was fresh off the press. And he worked very closely with the authorities, and it all worked out for him. But that is the situation that I work to protect you from. And he was so glad to hear that there was a processor that when we say we have a breach warranty, what that means is that all the fees and the fines and the forensic audits, which can literally cost you $5,000 to $10,000 a month easily, will be covered. Heartland covers you financially for all of those fees because of the way we protect you. And how we do that is with our equipment, our direct connection to you, not using third-party situations.
So it's kind of like most dental offices are probably using a third party. They're using a reseller of some kind. So it's unlikely they're dealing directly with First Data or they're dealing directly with one of those other companies. They've been sold by a reseller, so it means they're paying a markup, obviously, because when somebody resells something, there's a markup. So they're probably paying more than they should, but they're also perhaps compromising some of the security and exposing themselves to a potential issue like this gentleman.
How
does a doctor know? I mean, how do you know you're protected? How does, you know, if I'm listening to this recording, I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to be part of that $4.1 million fine. I don't want the hassle or headache, whether I got to pay the money or not. It's going to take time to unravel all of it. Like you said, they had to bring in a forensic accountant. How does a doctor know if they're even susceptible?
Well, they probably don't, and that's the scariest part. You know, I recently read an article that came out by a cybersecurity company called Kroll, and they said that they were talking with a business owner who was sure they were protected because they had a firewall, and they were sure that they were compliant and now they were well protected. As it turns out that they weren't, and they were hacked, and that's how they found out that they weren't protected. So what Heartland does, we work with you to be PCI compliant. I'm sure many of you have heard of PCI compliance and perhaps received the questionnaire that has an adorable assortment of 350 questions that you're supposed to answer.
Well, before we go too far, Bruce, what does PCI mean, what does PCI compliance mean? Because that is something that everyone listening to this call that accepts credit cards, they should be, or they're paying a hefty penalty for not being PCI compliant. I know because I'm one of those people that have in the past, not in the recent past, but previously have paid that hefty fee. What does it mean exactly?
Well, PCI stands for Payment Card Industry, and then it's DSS or DDS, excuse me if I get that wrong, which is data security. And so it's the data security standard. That's what it is, DSS, data security standard. It is what the credit card companies have established to be the expected level of security that you, the merchant, or the business needs to use, needs to have to protect themselves.
So it's a standard then that we all should be adhering to. So whether that's destroying credit card information that we've obtained from a patient, or we're storing credit card information in an Excel spreadsheet or something stupid like that.
Right. Yeah, it includes that. It includes having a secure network that you run credit cards on, and it wouldn't be your public access network, so they could be on their telephone or their iPads or their computers while they're in your office. And there's many different things that you need to do to be secure, and that's why there's 350 questions on the questionnaire, which are almost impossible to answer. Even for me, it's impossible. But let me tell you what we do to help you in that area. Heartland works with you to find out what questions you should answer and what the answers are. And the reason for that is when you're processing with Heartland and our equipment and our direct connection, because of the way you're protected from us, the questions that you will have to answer go from 350 to only 50. And we will tell you which of those questions you need to answer. And the reason for that is that you're not exposed like you may have been from other systems. And that's how we help you get through PCI security.
Got it. So this is sort of the beginning of understanding if you may have some exposure on your part is, are you PCI compliant, which most dentists looking at 310 or even if it was 110 questions, their eyes are going to roll back in their head. It's probably going to get pushed to the side, and they're going to move on to something different. So for clients who come to you and say, hey, where would you recommend they go to learn if they're PCI compliant? I mean, is there a website they can go to download this information? Can they come to you? I mean, how would they find out, if they could just start down this process to see if they're compliant? Because obviously, there's a huge liability if you're not. I mean, this is akin to a HIPAA violation, which can sink a practice. I mean, a $4.1 million lawsuit is nothing, or fine is nothing to scoff at. So, do you advise folks to here, go check this, or what do you tell them?
You know, honestly, I could send you to the PCI DSS website, and you can fish through that and look at it. But I think it would be too overwhelming, and so therefore, I really think that you should call me. Let me, talk to you a little bit about your business. Let me do an analysis of your current processing, and be able to then tell you in detail how we're going to be able to protect you. I don't think that anybody can get onto that PCI compliance website and know for themselves. You really need to talk to the people like Heartland who know the answers to the questions and can walk you through it.
Well, I was just curious, and I went to their website as we're talking here, and what I noticed is that they have a glossary. Anytime a website has a glossary to help you decrypt what it is they're saying, warning, parts of it knows what the hell they're doing. I mean, this is ridiculous. This thing's got to be, I'll bet you this glossary's 30, 40 pages.
Yes.
I mean, things like...
It doesn't surprise me.
Oh, this is ridiculous. SSH, SQL injection, SNMP, SHA-1, I mean, session token, service code.
It would be like me trying to learn how to be a dentist in 1 hour.
Oh my gosh, this is nuts! And you got to know all this stuff to be able to read their documents. So okay, all right. So you got me just from my perspective, Bruce. You got me convinced on that. find somebody that knows what the hell they're talking about, and we'll give out your contact information at the end of course.
Thanks.
So let's say we get through the PCI compliance part. What are some other hangups that folks have with a typical credit card processor?
Sure.
And maybe I'll sort of lead you down where I'd love to go, because I'm looking at your guys' website. I see this thing that was mentioned to me initially by the person that referred me to you. This claim that you guys are the founder of the Merchant Bill of Rights.
Correct.
What is that all about? Because interestingly enough, here at Jerry Jones Direct, we have a member Bill of Rights. No joke, we really do. I don't remember who we adopted it from, but some business had a Bill of Rights for their customers, and I thought that's really cool because it really sets out who we are and what we stand for. So what is your Merchant Bill of Rights?
The Merchant Bill of Rights is designed for the business person, for somebody to think like you think and to be able to ask the questions and get what they expect. So, for instance, you, the merchant, you have the right to know what every card transaction is and who's charging it. You have the right to know if the prices are going to increase for your payment processing. I think that if I talk to 10 people who have merchant services, I will guarantee you 5 of them said, yeah, you know, I started with them. They came to me. They gave me this great price. And then 6 months, 12 months later, I'm paying a lot more money than I did even originally before I switched. So you have the right to know when there's going to be price increases.
Gosh, that sounds like a familiar story. I got a quick one, if you don't mind me interjecting. One of the reasons I got fed up with the company I was with, which was one of the big 7 that you named, by the way, was exactly that. They do this every year, by the way. I've noticed the pattern after 20 years. I finally got smart, and I started reading the stuff that they were sending me. Because I spend a significant amount of money each month on merchant fees, and that comes right off the bottom line. That's not like it adds value to my business. It just helps me get, it helps us increase our cash flow. That's all it does. And we're paying, some companies are probably paying upwards of 5% on average on their merchant fees. And I was noticing that every year I would get a statement or a letter from them sometime around March or April, and that statement would say, we're going to be sending you a notice about a change in rates, except they really disguised the wording and made it difficult to understand, but that's basically what they're saying is, we're going to be sending you a letter that says, hey, we're raising your fees, and then shortly thereafter, I get this really complex letter that I had a very difficult time understanding, and it usually was accompanied by almost a half-inch thick little document that was written in small type on newsprint, stapled together, and just a lot of gibberish. I mean, stuff about interchange rates and Visa and MasterCard doing this or that. And basically what it was just, hey, we're raising your rates and, gird your loins. And sure enough, that next month, looking comparatively, I mean, I would see a bump. For a while, I learned how to combat that. And that's not the subject of this call, but I did learn how to preempt that issue, but nonetheless, every year, we would see our rates go up, and we were processing more, and so the rates were not going up. The rates were going up more than they should have if we were just doing the same volume, and if we did $100,000 in volume, we would be paying proportionally the same percentage rate at $150,000, and so I was like, we should be getting rewarded for growing, not punished, and so. Frustrating. You think every year you can't control this never-ending overhead creep. And so that was one of the reasons why I looked to you guys. I was referred to you. I was complaining to somebody. They referred me to you, and I'm very happy about the fact that you guys are transparent with your pricing, which if anybody's ever read a merchant statement, they will understand what I mean by confusing. because they're really confusing. It takes a trained eye to figure out what's going on those things. So I didn't want to steal your thunder, but instead inject a personal story about this never-ending rate increase and the confusion that goes with merchant accounts. Most dentists, I would imagine, have never studied their merchant accounts.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting, and that's, you know, Bob Carr was the founder of our company, and he's the one that developed the Merchant Bill of Rights, and basically it's what you're saying. It's, you know, please don't give me any surprises. Give me the right to know what merchant services are about and what I'm paying, what could I expect to pay, how do I understand what I'm paying, how do I know that what I'm paying is truly what you told me I would be paying.
Right.
So it's, you know, when you look at a Heartland statement, right away on the front page, you're going to say, okay, I understand this, because it tells you the dollars you're spending for each card brand, breaks it down by Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, tells you the volume that you've had for those cards, and then it tells you what the interchange is. Now I'll explain that a little bit to you in a moment. And then at the bottom of those, after those four card companies, it says, less Heartland Payment Systems processing fees. I'm just reading that. I just happened to have somebody's statement in front of me. Which it tells you exactly a dollar amount right there on the front page that you are paying for Heartland services. That is our profit. On the front page, we share with you what our profit is. The big difference between us and all the others is that is our profit. We're not hiding profit by padding the interchange or padding the authorization fees or any other fees that are listed there. We charge you the real interchange, and then we add our profit, and that profit is a percentage. So for every $100,000 that you do, you say, oh, Heartland's taking this percentage. That's what you're paying us. We're very transparent. We don't hide profit. We show you that you are being charged wholesale interchange. And interchange, that's the fee that the credit card companies require you to pay for accepting their cards.
So if you take American Express and they charge, let's say, 2%, that's what American Express then collects from Heartland. I mean, essentially Heartland collects it from us. And then Heartland passes that interchange rate on to American Express, correct?
That's exactly correct. I'd much rather use that 2% when associating it to Visa, MasterCard. Because you're going to be paying more for American Express. Yeah. we actually, I'm glad that we kind of came to that crossroads here, because we have a special deal with American Express. So typically, American Express charges 3.5% for accepting their card into your practice. So you're going to lose $3.50 for every $100 that you take in.
Right.
It's very spendy. When you process with us, they allow us to use the program called OptBlue.
Okay.
And that brings your interchange rates down to be very close to Visa and MasterCard. So then it will be about 2% instead of the 3.5%.
Wow. Yeah, that's significant. And keep in mind, most of the docs listening to this, when we're talking discount rates, a lot of the doctors listening to this are familiar with a company called CareCredit. CareCredit can charge anywhere from 8 to 15% in a discount rate. So talk about taking a hit. So 2 and 3% sounds really nice when it comes to that.
Yeah. That's all part of being transparent and saying, you know, we give you wholesale pricing on the cost of what the credit card companies bill you or take from you. And then we give you that percentage that you're paying to Heartland for working direct without paying the middleman, and we list that, and we itemize that on the inside pages. So that's easy to see.
Right. Now, I have no, I mean, I've received a couple of your statements here, you know, one from my dental office, one from one for Jerry Jones Direct here, and I have noticed the simplicity of the statements versus the company I was using before. I'm looking at one here, as a matter of fact, and the front page I like because right on the front page it shows you total deposits and total credit card fees. Then the next several pages, you know, have an in-depth analysis of where those fees come from. In other words, they're broken down. Very, very easy to read versus the ones I was getting previously, which were confusing, not really clear, and, you know, like I said, a lot of gobbledygook, stuff that I don't understand that required a glossary to sort of dive into. Aside from, you know, one of the tenants in this Merchant Bill of Rights being this transparency, how has Heartland responded to? I know in 2011 there was I don't remember the name of the act, but there was some act that was passed by Congress that was, I think it was part of a wider banking legislation, but it had to do with making sure that credit card processing companies basically couldn't screw the little guy. They had to stop screwing the little guy, and they had to do certain things. What were some of the things that were a result of that legislation, and how has Heartland interpreted that, and how are they applying it to folks like me and our Dentistry Confidential subscribers here?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Jerry. It's a funny industry. There's very little regulation in the credit card business. And in 2011, Dick Durbin, who was a senator in Illinois, along with Bob Carr, the founder of Heartland, went to Congress and said to Congress, you guys need to do something about this. The credit card companies do publish the wholesale rate of accepting credit cards for Visa, MasterCard, debit, Discover, and American Express. But nobody is exposing what it costs to process a debit card. And we all know that debit cards are just a transfer of funds from your checking account to my checking account. There's no borrowing, and there's no credit involved.
Very low risk, right?
Very, very low risk. So why is it that merchants are paying over 2% for accepting a debit card? We need to know what the real cost is for that. And so Dick Durbin put this amendment together that was accepted by Congress, and it says you can now find out what the rate is for accepting debit cards. Now, let me tell you what that is. If it is a large bank like U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, any major bank, they are regulated to publish the rate, which is 0.05% and 22 cents a swipe. 0.05 instead of 1.95 or 2.30.
So it's a 0.05 of a percent?
Yes.
Plus 22 cents.
That's right.
And for years they were charging up to 2% or more.
2% or more. That's right.
Oh, my God.
Just totally ripping you off. And
hey, Visa and MasterCard's got our backs, don't they?
Yeah, right? Just like the rest of the banks. But,
right.
You know, there's a flaw to that amendment, to that regulation. The flaw is that the processor does not have to charge you 0.05. They could still charge you 2% if they wanted to. The law only, the regulation shows that you can now find out what the real cost is. It doesn't mean that you have to be receiving that cost.
Okay. Well, there's a big difference there. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Heartland will always pass on the Durbin debit cost of 0.05 for debit cards to you.
So let me get this straight. If I'm using one of the – and this isn't something I knew prior to this call. This is really interesting. So I've got a patient in front of me who's just finished up a cleaning. I'm going to whack the card $100. Well, let's just say the average visit for a prophy or a cleaning is $100. So Mary's in front of me. I take her card. She goes, oh, this is a debit card. I say, okay, great. I'll just swipe it, and I give it back to her. I could be paying $2 as opposed to less than a penny, a half a penny, basically,
right.
And plus 22 and a half cents.
Correct.
Is that right?
A penny.
You $2 versus
half a penny plus 22 cents as opposed to $2 and 10 cents just for the swipe.
Okay, so
let's see.
So that is a 1,000, is that 1,000% increase?
Yeah.
I don't know that I don't know if I'm doing the math fast enough, but that I think that's 1,000% increase, maybe bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so holy crap. So in a dental office, a lot of folks use their debit cards because I watch in my office, they'll come up, hand us the debit card, and now because of you, we got this little PIN pad, and they enter in their little PIN, their PIN number.
Right.
And so my profit margin increased over 2% probably on that transaction by using a company that passes along the Durbin debit numbers.
Yeah, I mean, just think of it as this way. For every $100, you're going to lose $2, let's say. $2 for every $100 for a 2% fee. But for a debit fee, you'll lose
22 and a half cents.
A half a cent, right, 22 and a half cents.
So every $1,000 is $22, or is $20 lost. Every $10,000 is $200. Every $100,000 is $2,000.
Right.
Every million is $20,000. Is that right? Did I follow the math right?
I think so.
So just on debit cards, by screwing up and not going with a company or understanding that the difference between 2% and less than 2%, a tiny fraction, 22 and a half cents versus $2.
Right.
Good God. Okay, that really hadn't hit me until now. That's a significant amount of money. And if you amortize that out over the lifetime of a dental practice, I mean, let's say a dentist does, let's say $50 million. Well, let's just say $20 million. I don't know, $30 million, $30 million over the lifetime of their business. That is a ton of dough that they've just, like, written a check to the banks and said, here, you guys enjoy my money because I apparently don't want it badly enough.
Imagine putting the money that you would lose in 1 year if you kept putting that into your retirement fund by the time you actually did retire, just saving that amount of money from debit card fees, it could probably give you several hundred thousand dollars more.
Oh, my God.
For retirement.
Oh, easy. I mean, compound interest, even at 2 or 3%. Oh, man. That gives a guy a headache. Okay, well, that's it. That wasn't what I was expecting to learn about. What other cool stuff do you have up your sleeve, Bruce, that can help our members protect themselves, not only protect and potentially avoid a $4 million set of fines for not having the right security, and, you know, now we're talking about saving money. I would like to talk about something I've been very impressed with, or have you talk about it, and explain why you're different in this category. So it comes down to customer service. And I'll tell you my beef with this. It's happened to me a couple of times where we've experienced a surge in credit card volume. After it happened the first time, I learned to make a phone call to our processor and let them know, hey, we're going to be experiencing a surge in credit card processing. We're just giving you a heads up. Please don't hold our funds. So what had happened is the first time I'd done that, we had ran through like $30,000 in credit card charges. The credit card company freaked out, thought we'd been hacked, and literally turned off the money spigot. So of that $30,000 that we processed, I think we ended up with $1,000, $29,000 they withheld for about 60 days. They were concerned that, and I understand their concern, but my biggest challenge was finding someone that I could communicate with, A, that spoke English, and B, that really understood and cared about what I was calling about. it wasn't, you know, they forgot I was the customer and thought I was their enemy.
Yeah.
And so I haven't had to utilize that high level of customer service engagement with your company, but I have, you know, in the throughout the setup process and dealing with you and getting my team at my dental office up to speed on the new company, I've been thoroughly impressed with how quickly things get done with Heartland. How is it you guys can perform at such a high level with customer service, and some of these other companies are struggling? And if you are talking to somebody, they're probably not in the United States. They've outsourced to a foreign country where, God bless them, but they speak horrible English. I mean, it's like, you know, trying to understand somebody that's speaking pidgin English or pidgin French or whatever that's called.
Terrible.
And you can't understand what they're saying. How are you guys doing this?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought up the example that you just gave about holding the funds for 60 days, because I have an incredible story that just happened this morning that I'll relate to you. But first I want to tell you that our customer service is in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I have been to our service center several times. It is 250,000 square feet.
Ooh.
When you call up our service center, it could be 3 in the afternoon or 3 in the morning, 24/7, 365. Somebody is going to answer the phone in less than 6 seconds.
Did you say six?
Yeah, six, S-I-X, 6 seconds. And the person that answers the phone is the one that fixes your problem.
Well, that's a new one.
I
don't get transferred six times?
No, exactly. So not only do you not have a phone tree where you have to hit 100 buttons before you get to where you want to go, but you also don't have a receptionist to answer the phone. You have a customer service technician that answers the phone.
I want to know.
That's the person. Yeah. This is old-fashioned customer service that we used to have when I was a kid.
Right.
Or maybe 20 years ago even. I wasn't a kid then. I wasn't a kid 20 years ago either. So that's how good our customer service is, to be able to reach them. To reach me is almost as easy. I'm not going to answer the phone 24/7. But I will answer the phone when I'm not sleeping. So when you have a problem, I mean, I have customers that will call me in the evening, my credit card machine went down, or, oh gosh, we put in the wrong amount into the credit card machine and we already settled, what do we do? I answer the phone and I help you with it. And if I can't help you, what I do is I conference in my customer service people, and they tell you how to fix the problem. But we are always there for you. It's incredible customer service compared to any industry. So how does that sound?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's that's not normal. And I think most of the folks listening to this will understand that's rather exceptional. Number one, that somebody answers 24/7. Number two, that the person that answers is going to be able to fix the problem. That's not normal. Let's talk a little bit about the equipment that you use.
Sure.
I don't care about makes and models and all that stuff, but how does that work? Because I know there was some recent changes in the way credit cards share information with the machine that they're swiped or stuck into.
Right.
So, like, we upgraded. We hadn't yet upgraded, but when we switched over to Heartland, you upgraded us. Or we got a new machine. It's got the ability to read the chip. Does Heartland work with most equipment, or do you have a unique type of equipment that you utilize to ensure this PCI compliance and to make sure that these breaches don't happen? You know, too many straws in the same you know, cup of water, kind of a situation.
So this whole chip thing is very interesting. First of all, it is referred to as EMV, E like Euro, M like MasterCard, V like Visa. And that's essentially what EMV stands for, Euro MasterCard, Visa card. And that's because Europe established this long before we adapted to it. So
okay.
They decided that they needed to put a halt to counterfeit cards. And by inserting a chip, as of today, and I hope for many days to come, hackers or counterfeit card makers are not able to duplicate the chip that's in the card.
Gotcha.
They will still make a counterfeit card that shows a chip, but it would have to be swiped instead of put in by chip
okay.
for it to be accepted. And the only ones that will be able to be fooled by this counterfeit card that has a chip and the chip doesn't work is by the people who have equipment that they're using that does not have a chip reader. So as an example, it's a phony chip in a counterfeit card and it looks real, and they go to your swiper and they swipe the card. If it is a chip reading machine, the machine will say, put the card into the chip reader. You cannot swipe it like you normally do. And at that point, when you put that counterfeit card into the chip reader, it's going to come up as counterfeit.
Oh.
Okay. But if you did not have a machine that recognized chips, then that counterfeit card with a counterfeit chip will be swiped normally, and you will not know that it is a counterfeit card, and you will get a charge back for that amount of money. And when you call up your bank and you say, hey, you guys have always covered me on these counterfeit cards, I just had one, and they're going to say, sorry, you don't have a chip reader. We are not backing you up. You just lost that money.
So I mean, that's a pretty serious deal. So if you have somebody come in, and I don't know, I'll play devil's advocate. I don't know how likely that might be in a dental office. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But criminals are criminals, and they're exist in all walks of life. So, dentistry, for example, is one of the highest rates of embezzlement. Now, so if a doctor wants to use that logic of, well, patients would never do that. Well, neither would an office manager ever embezzle $1 million over, career. I mean, who would ever imagine, right? I'm a victim of embezzlement, probably more than once, probably multiple times. I know for sure twice. But, I mean, if you got a patient that comes in and swipes, even if it's $500, and they use a counterfeit card, so the chip reader doesn't work, so you have them swipe it, you don't have the upgraded equipment, the equipment that detects this issue, that protects you, goes through, and you end up getting a charge back because Visa, MasterCard, American Express says, sorry, sucker, it's on you. You didn't upgrade.
Right.
So that's what happens?
That is what happens. Now, let's take it to another example, because I understand that some doctors are going to feel that nobody's going to come in here with a stolen card. I know all my clients. Okay. Well, sometimes you might have a client that you know, but they're not exactly a really nice person. And they just spend $500 getting their teeth fixed. And then they go back home and they realize they don't want to pay for it. And so they realize that you don't have a chip reader in your machine. So they call up their card company, and for whatever reason they tell their card company, whatever excuse they use, the card company will charge you back because the customer claimed that the charge was not good, whether the work was not good or they weren't there or whatever. That charge will be canceled if that customer called their card company, and you cannot do anything about it because you do not have a chip reader, and you cannot dispute any chargeback if you are not using a certified chip reading machine.
Ouch. So we were pretty vulnerable there for a period of time.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, so not only are you vulnerable for counterfeit cards, but you're vulnerable that you cannot dispute a chargeback ever again if you don't have a machine that recognizes chip cards. Even if you have a signature on the receipt, doesn't matter.
You know, it'd sure be nice if things that we, this kind of stuff was put in plain language like this, right? Because I think the docs would make a more concerted effort to get that new machine. That's pretty serious. I mean, that's very serious.
Yeah. There, you know, it happens all the time. I ran into a customer last week that's a new customer, and they said, we need to get this machine. We have three, it wasn't a dentist, but they said, we never had chargebacks before. Since January, we've had three people called in and said they were never in our establishment, and we got charged back. We need to have this chip card reader.
Oh, so word's getting around. Criminals do communicate. I mean, there are blogs online and websites online where criminals go to educate each other.
Yeah, I
know.
So, well, they don't have to have magazines or newspapers. They can just put it online and share it.
Wow, that's fascinating. Scary, but fascinating. So, I mean, to kind of sum up your recommendations, get a chip reader machine and get one quickly.
Absolutely.
Make sure that the company you're using is transparent, and ideally you're dealing directly with one of the big seven, not a reseller, number one, to save money, number two, to improve or decrease your liability and transparency, improve your transparency.
And your security.
What other recommendations could we summarize from our time together here?
Well, I think that it's just important to know that there's a lot of people out there trying to get this business. And once you work with Heartland, you won't have to go to anybody else because you'll know that you'll know what you're paying. You'll know it's a very fair price. You'll know that you're being taken care of by incredible customer service. You know that, I don't think I mentioned this, your price will never go up. We do not raise your price, and that's just how it is. So you won't have to put up with all of these nagging questions and insecurities any longer. Once you're with Heartland, which is a company that has integrity, transparency, and incredible customer service, and you have me, and I do all three of those things very, very well.
I'd have to agree. I'm a little biased. A couple of reasons I'm biased, but yeah, definitely. Bruce, if folks want to get a hold of you directly, best way to do that. And then, actually, before you tell them, I do want to make a disclaimer. Bruce is very kindly offered to do a very, it's very minimal. If I do have to say so myself, it's a minimal revenue share, which means if you decide to do business with Bruce, I'm gonna get enough that I might be able to buy a pizza with, and I'm not kidding, it's not much, but it's Bruce's way of thanking me for giving him the opportunity to be on Dentistry Confidential and to help dentists all around the United States. So I'm putting that out there because I think, you know, Heartland is transparent. I'll be transparent with Heartland. And Bruce, I appreciate you coming on here and sharing this information. And the reason I'm doing it is because of what you guys stand for and the service I've gotten and how my fees have plummeted. By the way, I don't know if I shared this with you. We're on track to save about $7,000 this year after switching to you.
Wow. Fantastic.
Now, that's going to go right in Jerry's pocket, mind you. That's not going to go anywhere else. That goes in my pocket.
Put it in retirement.
Well, by pocket, I mean I can do whatever the hell I want with it. That's what I mean with that.
That's
but it's a very nice feeling to do business with nice people who care, who are transparent, who have your back, and at the same time actually save you money. So I wanted to make sure that was put out there. But so I'm encouraging you to call Bruce, not because I want another pizza, but because I care about you as a subscriber. And trust me, I don't need another pizza. I care about you as a subscriber, and I want you to have these benefits as well. That's part of doing the right thing for us here at Dentistry Confidential. So, Bruce, how do folks get a hold of you if they want to learn more and perhaps have you do an analysis of their current processor to see if they've got that security, the protection, the customer service, and even potentially some savings?
Yep. So first I'll give you the phone number. That's the easiest. My direct line is 503-780-4237. My email, and I'll spell out my name for you because it's my name. So it's bruce.feller@e-hps.com. And the spelling is B-R-U-C-E dot, and then F as in Fox, E-L-L-E-R, at the letter E, like excellent, dash, HPS.com. That's H like Heartland, P like payment, F like systems.com.
Okay. So it's Bruce.Feller, F-E-L-L-E-R, at E-HPS.com.
Correct.
All right. Beautiful. I recommend you call Bruce for all the obvious reasons we've covered on today's Dentistry Confidential. If nothing else, you're going to certainly sleep a little better at night knowing you have the security of a phenomenal company behind you. And should you ever need it, customer service that is, so far I've experienced, first rate. And dealing with Bruce has been just a pleasure. It has been a pleasure. I don't get to say that very often about dealing with vendors of mine that we use. There are a few that are pleasurable to deal with. You've and Heartland, the folks at Heartland have been pleasurable, which is why I agreed to do this, because I do want to share what you guys are doing with as many folks as I can. So, Bruce, I appreciate your time. Any thoughts on, or could you give our folks some indication on how quickly they'll hear back from you? And I mean, because when this hits, there's a lot of people that get this this audio. So when this hits, you may get deluged. Any idea on, you know, how long it takes to, you know, once you get an initial inquiry, how long it takes to get back to somebody, that sort of thing?
Sure. So I will get back to you within 24 hours by phone or by email. Once we have a conversation and I learn a little bit more about your practice and your business and how I could best help you, then I would request a statement, probably three consecutive month statements from you. I will analyze those statements, get back to you with a report. It'll show what you're paying now and what you would have been paying for that month if you were with Heartland. Pardon me. And then within 3 days, on average, we would have you installed and working with Heartland and secure.
So it's not like you guys take 6 months to get things going. You act pretty quick.
Absolutely, yeah. We could literally get you approved the same day, and then we send our equipment out second day air, so you would have it within 2 days, and then our customer service people will be on the phone with you and say, okay, after you plug in the power, then you plug in your Ethernet or your phone wire, preferably your Ethernet, and then you're good to go. That's simplifying it, but it really does go that simply most of the time.
Well, I know in my office it was smooth as silk, and for Jerry Jones Direct it was even smoother because I wasn't even personally involved. So my favorite kind of switch. I don't have to do anything. I get the same money, and I didn't have to do anything other than to meet you and spend a few minutes with you on the phone. So, Bruce, I appreciate it. I think you brought some real value to our subscribers today, and you've probably opened a lot of eyes to some of the challenges that accepting payments, you know, credit card payments can pose that we maybe don't even think about. I mean, we're just going about our day-to-day routine, and we just sort of gloss over some of those really important details, like, you know, you get this piece of paper in the mail every month that has a statement on it, or maybe you get it by email and you haven't really looked at it for months. You probably should start paying attention to that stuff because there's some really important information that you're going to want to know about that is affecting your bottom line more than you probably have any idea. So good stuff, Bruce. Good stuff. Thank you for sharing. Folks, we've run out of time for today. Been with Bruce Feller today with Heartland Payment Solutions, and I encourage you to reach out to Bruce and discover if he may be able to help you with some of the challenges that we've discussed today. So, Bruce, thank you again. Appreciate your time. Any last words before we go?
Gosh, I wish we had another 2 minutes. I didn't tell you the story, but I had that I meant to. But we had an $82,000 charge for medical equipment today, and the merchant called me up and said, "Is this going to be held up?" And I said, "No, let me call my customer service office." And typically, they were only running $10,000 or $20,000 charges. This was $82,000 for one charge for a piece of medical equipment, and we got it all taken care of, and the guy has it in the bank same day. So that's my final statement.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, we do have some folks who do some larger cosmetic dentistry cases that listen to this. They're subscribers to our audio program. So, I mean, they may be running $20,000, $25,000 charges that are well above their, you know, $500 or $750 average transaction norm or whatever their average norm might be. So it's good to know that that kind of service is there, and people don't have to stress out about it. And that's really good to know. And one more reason to have great customer service that you can have access to, right?
That's right. Exactly.
All right. Phenomenal. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Appreciate it. So, Bruce, have a fantastic day.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate everything.
Hey, Jerry Jones here. Thank you for joining me on this edition of the Jerry Jones Radio Show. You've reached the end of this segment. You can always listen in to the next show by visiting jerryjonesdirect.com/podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, or find the show at blogtalkradio.com/Jerry Jones. For more information about Jerry Jones Direct, go to jerryjonesdirect.com or give us a call, 503-339-6000. Our member ambassadors are standing by to assist you. And once again, thank you for listening to the Jerry Jones Radio Show.